We've got quite a parsha this week. A lot in the parsha. Let me run through it best I can here. Let me use this lemish. We've got Parshas Re'eh. A couple years ago, I gave a very cutesy class on Re'eh. The word Re'eh obviously means to see. But it also happened to be the same weekend, and I'm sure some of you remember this. It was the same weekend as the eclipse. Remember the eclipse? Yeah, the solar eclipse that happened a couple summers ago. So we had a big thing in Kansas because nearby Kansas was like 100% coverage, right? That was like a big thing. Where can you get the most coverage? So I gave a whole drasha back then, Re'eh, about the importance of not seeing is believing. And how sometimes we convince ourselves that something only exists if we're able to tangibly see it. But oftentimes, belief is defined by the opposite. It's not belief if you know something, that's knowledge. It's belief if you don't know something and you're willing to believe in it anyway. So that's belief either way. So that's Re'eh. Which we'll talk about soon. The Parsha talks about, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu's, again, giving sort of like a pep talk to the Jewish people, you know, giving them options. We'll talk about in a second. Then he talks about different things that you're going to have to do when you get to Eretz Yisrael, keeping the mitzvos, and that's going to really make you sustain in the land. He talks about things that other nations do, things like Avodah Zarah that you have to not only refrain from, but also you have to destroy and make sure it doesn't, you know, it doesn't spread or it doesn't become a thing in the land of Israel, because Hashem is putting you there and for you to make it sort of a spiritual place. And you should also, while you're there, you go and make the Beis HaMikdash, and you're going to go to the Beis HaMikdash for all the Yontifs and the Shalosh Regalim. And he's going to make you prosperous in the land of Israel if you follow everything he says. It's really one long pep talk, one long pump-up speech. And then he talks about different halachas in the same vein in terms of not following other things, either not following a false prophet, or not following someone who's trying to sway you to do it in Isser, to do something with prohibition. It talks about different foods that you're allowed to eat. It talks about how you should deal with your produce and taking Meiser. And then it talks about Shemitah, right? A lot of things to do with the land and a lot of things that really have to do with civil law and civil, sustenance. It talks about tzedakah. It talks about loans and what's going to happen after Shemitah without the loans. And then at the end of the parsha, it actually talks about the Shalosh Regalim itself. It talks about the season that they're in. And this is actually a parsha that we read very often on the different holidays because it goes through, you know, some of the aspects of each of them in the psukim at the end of the parsha. But we're going to focus on the beginning of the parsha, and then we're going to talk about a couple psukim in the middle of the parsha. The beginning of the parsha, for those who have the sheet, and for those who don't, we'll say it out loud. The beginning of the parsha tells us, Re'eh Anochi Nosein Lefnechem Hayom. So this one phrase, these five words, are actually very interesting because there are a lot of inconsistencies within them, and then there are some inconsistencies outside of them. So for one, you'll notice this is Moshe Rabbeinu talking. Re'eh Anochi Nosein Lefnechem Hayom. Behold, Re'eh is talking to a singular person, right? It's basically the equivalent of Tir'eh. Re'eh, you should see, right? So talking to a single person. And then it says, Anochi Nosein Lifnechem. Lifnechem means to you, plural. So is he talking to an individual or is he talking to a people? We presumably assume that that he's talking to all the Jewish people. So why would he say Re'eh and then Lifnechem? Presumably, those two things are contradictory. We'll see in a second maybe one way or a couple ways that you could approach that. Although there's no great answer. Probably the literal answer is, or the simple answer is, that Re'eh is talking to the collective of the Jewish people, like the Bnei Yisrael. And then Lifnechem is talking to the individuals of the Jewish people, which is what we'll see a little bit in source number two. Another interesting phrase is, why do we need the word Anochi? Right? What is the word Anochi saying? So just say Re'eh Nosein Lifnechem Hayom, right? Re'eh, I'm giving to you today. Why does it have to say I Anochi? Why does it use the word Anochi? And what is Hayom? I spoke about this, or I wrote about this in the newsletter for those who read that. That What does it mean? Moshe Rabbeinu is giving them a choice today between bracha and klala, between blessing and curse. It didn't happen today. Hashem gave you a choice between being Jewish and not Jewish way back in Mitzrayim. You could even say by Avram Avinu, he gave us that choice. So what does that mean that today Moshe Rabbeinu is giving us this bracha and klala, this blessing and curse? Presumably, on a literal level, again, the simplest understanding of that is that it's referring to a specific activity that Rashi tells us, Har Grizim and Har Eva, which they're about to do. They're about to go up to the mountains and have this little back and forth about certain things. But either way, it's an interesting question. Why does he say the word Hayom? And in the newsletter, I spoke about the concept of the Gra, the Vilna Gaon, that the word Hayom is to teach us that we actually have this choice every single day. We never have to continue what we did yesterday. The choice is brand new every day. It's not that we decided to do a mitzvah yesterday and therefore we don't have to decide today. It's not like we already did an avera yesterday and therefore we can continue that avera today. No, every single day is a new day. And that's in some ways it's empowering to know that hayom, we have the opportunity to choose between bracha and klala. And what is this? Yeah.
I sort of disagree with you. Without the word anochi, yeah, the sentence is very strange. To just say roeno tate, I mean,
right?
So, some kind of thing there. Without anochi, it sounds very
right. So the Or HaChaim doesn't necessarily ask the question in terms of the word being there at all. He does ask the question why the word anochi. Anochi is a very specific type of saying I. He could have said ani, or he could have left it out completely. He could have said, Re'ei lefneichem hayom. Behold, there is before you today. Like, for instance, in Mishpatim, at the beginning of Mishpatim, what does it say? Ve'ele ha-mishpatim asher tasim lefneichem. It doesn't say who's giving them. It just says it. These are put in front of you. So here too, it could just say, Re'ei, you know, natun lefneichem hayom. Right? It could just be placed in front of them. What does it matter that Moshe Rabbeinu is placing it in front of you? Just like Ve'ela HaMishvashim, Asher Tasim Lefnehem, these are the ones that go in front of you. It doesn't say who's putting them there. If the whole purpose is the Bracha and Klala, so it doesn't really matter who the subject of the giver is. But the Or HaChaim has an interesting thesis where he talks all about how this first pasuk is really a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu himself. And that's it really addresses a lot of the questions, which is that Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Jewish people that he himself, Anochi, my essence, my being, is the one who's giving you this choice. Why is that important, that I'm the one giving you the choice, and it's not just a choice that you can have? It's important because notice where I came from. Moshe Rabbeinu lived in the lap of luxury. He lived in Mitzrayim. He lived in the world of Klala. He lived in that aspect of, you know, irreligious, you know, secular, and sort of indulgent society. Right, he had the klala, so he's saying to the Jewish people, "Re'e Anochi, look at me. I'm the one who's nosein lefneichem hayom bracha and klala. I can speak because I've lived through that decision myself. I have decided, even though I could have stayed in luxury, even though I could have stayed in the society, the culture of indulgence, I decided to take the bracha, and so too you should also." So that's somehow the Or HaChaim explains it. A very interesting way to understand why the word Anochi is there and why it's important that Moshe Rabbeinu even tells him that he's the one giving it to them. Presumably Hashem is the one giving it to them. So it really answers a lot of questions. Not all of them, but it answers a lot of questions when you look at it like that, which is a very interesting concept because we actually talked about this a little bit last night in Mishlei. Cherna was there that one of the best ways of convincing someone of an argument is when you've done it yourself. Right, you can go through studies and you can read books and you can read experiments, but if you haven't seen someone who's gone through it and really lived through the ups and downs of that issue, so it's hard to really convince somebody of that. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu here is saying, I've done it, I've been through it, I've had the klala, I've had the bracha, trust me, you should choose the bracha. It'll work out for you much better in the end. So also a very interesting concept from the Or HaChaim, but also not something we're talking about today. Except that we just talked about it. But either way, so what does Moshe Rabbeinu say? Es ha-bracha, what is this bracha? Asher tishmu el mitzvos Hashem Elokeichem. The bracha is that you are listening. So this is interesting because usually what it means, what it presumably means is the bracha will come after you listen, right? So es ha-bracha, asher tishmu el mitzvos Hashem Elokeichem, asher anochi mitzvah eschem hayom. right? That when you listen to Hashem, you'll get this blessing. But there's sometimes, you know, the more you learn how Hasidus works and how drushas work, I don't have to look at a sefer to know what the drusha is on this pasuk, right? Because one can look at this pasuk and say, as I just said, the bracha comes after you listen to Hashem. But I'm sure there are some mefarshim that explain, some darshanim, some maybe Hasidish rebbis that explain, es habracha asher tishmeu, just the opportunity to listen to Hashem's words, that itself is the bracha, right? It's very interesting. It's a very interesting drasha, a very interesting piece. And it's clearly what Hashem wants us to understand as an extra layer to the pasuk because of the way he phrases it like this. You know, es habracha asher tishmu, the bracha is the opportunity to listen to Hashem's words, the opportunity to learn Torah is itself the bracha. And I'm sure, you know, I've got a little, I have a lot of cheat books. Rabbis have to have cheat books. So this is a compilation book. This is a lot of Hasidish little sayings. And I like it because it oftentimes just gives you the bottom line, gives you like the punchline of every drasha, right? They're not very long. You'll see these very small paragraphs on each thing. So let me just do a quick search. I'm not guaranteeing. I haven't looked at this before. It could be that there's nothing here, but my hunch is that this is going to have something on that concept. Let's see. I'm not claiming to be any genius. I just know how these things work. Let's see here. Here it is. Habracha asher tishmu skulasa shel Torah hi b'chol yom yu b'nech chashen l'vikdem z'chadish b'chol yom b'chadish b'chol b'racha b'akbosav nasa l'vnechem hayom b'racha v'zeh shenem or habracha asher tishmu ha-mitzvos Hashem. Okay, a little bit different. Here it is. Reb Tzvi Hirsch Miramanov, the Rimanover. He says, "Es habracha asher tishmu, ein lecha bracha yoser gedola miakisufim lishmo l'kayim mitzvos Hashem izbrach." There's no greater bracha than the ability to listen to what Hashem says and to do the mitzvos. There you go. It's clear in the Rimanover, says the drasha. It's clear. I mean, that's what Hashem wants us to learn, that drasha from the pasuk. It's almost not even a drasha, but it's not what the pasuk means. So I guess we have to say it's a drasha. Either way, so that's what Moshe Rabbeinu says. That's the bracha va'klala. And alternatively, what is the curse? Im lo tishmu. Very interesting that the word asher is the predicate for tishmu. And then in the second half, it's klala im lo tishmu, if you don't, right? It's not when, but it's if. Im lo tishmu al mitzvos Hashem elokechem misartem min adarach asher anachi mitzvah eschem hayom lalechaz el acharei elokim acharim asher lo yidatem. You're going to follow after other gods, lowercase g, that you do not know. Interesting, what does that mean? Asher lo yidatem, you do not know. That could either mean that they're not knowable, right, because they're inanimate objects, or it could mean someone you don't have a history with, you don't have a relationship with, right? Knowledge is really the backbone of a relationship. You trust people that you know. And here it's you're trusting in gods that you have no relationship with, because they're inanimate objects. Very interesting point to realize also. But let's look back at the first pasuk again. The introductory pasuk, as Moshe Rabbeinu says, Re'eh anochi nosen lifnechem hayom. Behold, I give before you today this bracha and klal. So the Baal HaTurim was Rabbi Yaakov, the son of Rabbi Asher. We mentioned that Rabbi Asher, the Rush, on Tisha B'Av, for those who were able to chime into the kinos, we talked about the Rush and how he really started in Germany but made his way into Spain because of persecutions, somewhat to do with the momentum of the Crusades that we spoke about then, but not really. Either way, so the Rush's son, the Baal HaTurim, Rabbi Yaakov, says the following. He has a lot of, he's oftentimes much more condensed than this, but either way, he says here a lot of different answers, or a lot of different explanations for this first pasuk. And if you have the source, it's in source number two. Re'eh anochi, amar lashon yachid. He first says it in the singular, re'eh. You, singular, should see. Uperish re'eh amar l'kol echad ve'echad. Very interesting that he says re'eh means, he's saying to each and every single person. Moshe Rabbeinu had that ability. I once heard a line from a Rav. He said, he was talking about a person. I don't know who he was talking about. But he said that this person had an uncanny ability, that when he saw a group of people, he didn't see a group, He saw individuals. And that's a certain line that stayed with me in terms of when you see a bunch of people, you don't just see a bunch of people, right? You shouldn't treat an entire group of people the same way, but rather you should look at every individual. So here the Baal Turim is saying, Re'eh, when Moshe Rabbeinu looks at the Jewish people, he's saying, Re'eh. He says to this person, to that person, he knows each person individually to the extent that he can say to them, to each and every one of them, in the singular, Re'eh. He's speaking to each of them personally. So that's number one. V'yesh mefarshim liyoshua amar. And says the Baal Turim in a simpler way, maybe it's in the singular because he's speaking to Yehoshua ben Nun. He's not speaking to the entirety of Jewish people. Re'eh anochi v'hishir levarches Yisrael k'shiyavri azayardin. And he's teaching Yehoshua to bless the Jewish people after they cross into the land of Israel. Which is interesting because Rashi seems to not understand it that way. He seems to understand it that this is something he's talking about going on before they go into the land of Israel. But according to this opinion that he's talking about it going on after they get into the land of Israel. So what is the bracha and the klala? The bracha and the klala is that Yehoshua should give a bracha to the Jewish people. Which is kind of interesting. I don't know how it works with the next two psukim, but it's an interesting concept nonetheless. And then he says a bunch of other things, and I skipped over it. Davar acher, re'eh anochi, re'eh aseres hadibros. What does it mean to look, to see the anochi? Right? We say, why does it need the word anochi there? What is that doing? So it's a very specific anochi. He says, re'eh anochi means look at the Ten Commandments. Shepasach ba'anochi. The Ten Commandments, as we know, start with the words, anochi Hashem Elokecha. And Moshe Rabbeinu is saying to the Jewish people, make sure you hold very steadfast to the Ten Commandments. Why? Re'eh anochi, look at the Ten Commandments, study the Ten Commandments. U'tekayim osam, fulfill them. Ki kol ha-mitzvos kululos bahem. Because all of the mitzvos are embedded within the Aseres Hadibros. This is a very interesting concept. I think the Ramban talks about this in one of the Aseres Hadibros, either in Yisrael or Rosh Hashanah. He talks about how the Aseres Hadibros are, on one hand, they are specific mitzvahs, but on the other hand, they're actually categories of mitzvahs, different types of mitzvahs that really encompass a lot of aspects of Jewish life. So that's another thing. He says, Re'eh Anochi means study the Anochi, study the Aseres Hadibros. Davar Acher, Re'eh Anochi Perish, Mimeni Tiru, V'chein Tasu. This sounds a little like the Orach Chaim, but I think it's a little different. He's basically saying to the Jewish people, look what I'm doing, and that's what you should do. Re'eh Anochi, look at me. Right, as we said from the Orach Chaim, not necessarily playing on the bracha and klala as much, but more about how to do the mitzvos. And then he says finally, which is sort of my favorite one here, Davar Acher, Re'eh, ki hamapil goral im chavero mechase hagoralos. Right, and what's a goral? A goral is a lottery, right? It's drawing lots. So says the Baal Turim, usually when you draw lots, so what happens? You fold the pieces of paper up, or you put them in some kind of bag, some opaque bag or a hat, some kind of thing you can't see through, and you let the person sort of blindly pick it up. Right, so he says about Turim, Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, Re'eh anochi nosein lefnechem hayom. I'm putting everything out in front of you. Right, im chaver mechasa goros v'achalakim shalo yivror chaver chelik hayafa, so that the person doesn't see what's the best choice. Aval atah, but for you, re'eh hagorolos. You can see them. Right, that's the word re'eh. Look at what I'm giving to you. Don't just listen, but look what I'm giving to you, meaning that it's a clear choice. Look at the different choices. Choosing the Torah is like winning the lottery. You know what the good choice is. You know what the most rewarding choice is. In order to get the most rewarding choice, all you have to do is look. All you have to do is look. You'll find the Torah and you will win the lottery. We don't always find it, we don't always look at it like that. But that's how the Baal Turim is saying that re'eh means, the connotation of the word re'eh means look. If you just look, you'll notice that you're going to win the lottery. And in this case, you don't get any taxes taken off when you win this lottery. Hashem lets you keep the whole thing. So it's a lottery we should all try to win. But this concept of bracha and klala, of trying to win this lottery, so it's very interesting because it sounds almost as if one were to sort of classify what's going on in the scene, it's as if, the imagery is as if Moshe Rabbeinu is giving the Jewish people a choice. Is that really a choice that Moshe Rabbeinu wants to present? Right? If you think, like, for those who come to our Mishlei class, the entirety of Mishlei, at least the first nine prakim, the first nine chapters, basically, you have to choose Torah. Torah is good for this, Torah is good for that. Other things are bad for this, other things are bad for that. But Mishlei never says, here, I'll give you a choice. You can either have Torah or you can have this other thing. No, the whole Shlomo Melech, all he does in Mishlei is basically say, you have to choose Torah. This, you know, the bad stuff is not a choice. You can't choose that. And it sounds almost like Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, you have a choice. You can either choose this or you can choose that. And a bunch of Mefarshim talk about this. If you look at the Svarno, however, so the Svarno says the following. In source number 3, for those who have it, Re'ei, Habita u'Re'ei, look and scrutinize, or look closely. Shelo yiyya in yanecha al ofen benoni. You should not see this choice as a normal choice where you can choose between the two of them and maybe you can compromise between the two of them. Kemoshu haminhag barov. When you have a choice between two things, so you take a little bit of this, you take a little bit of that, you take, you know, both of them in you sort of in you know, lesser amounts, and then you have both of them. And that he says that's what most people do. When they're faced with a choice, they try to get both of them. Right? You try to compromise and get and take from both options. I don't know what this word is, but it's Hayoser Tov. Not sure what the word is. Ayin Sadi. I don't know what it means. What he's saying basically is, this is not supposed to be a choice. This is not your normal choice. This is not your normal decision where you have two things and you always try to find the middle ground, where you find that you take a little bit of this, you take a little bit of that. Says the Sfarno, he's not really giving them a choice. Well, we'll see in a second, or we'll see soon, how the Sfarno is to be understood. But it sounds like the Sfarno is saying that Moshe Rabbeinu is really giving them a choice. It's just as opposed to previous choices where it's between this or it's between that and you might take the middle road, this is something where you have to go all the way to one extreme. And this reminds us of a concept of the Rambam. The Rambam tells us a famous concept called the golden mean. People are familiar with the golden mean, not the golden rule. The golden rule is v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha, or as moral philosophers might say, do to others what you want done to yourself, or other moral philosophers would say, do not do unto others what you do not want done to yourself. There are very interesting nafkaminas based on how you understand it. It's even a machlokas on how to translate the pasuk between Targum Onklos and Targum Yonasan, but this is not talking about that. This is the golden mean. The golden mean means taking the shvil hazahav, the golden path, which is the middle path. Now, what does middle mean is not clear, but if you look in source number 4, this is where the Rambam talks about that concept. Shteik tzavot harachoka zumizu shevachol dea v'dea einan derach tova ve'ein royo lo la'adam lechas behem lo la'amdam la'atzmel. Every decision, every character trait, every tendency a person has, it could go in one of two extremes. You could be all the way on one side or all the way on the other side, and says the Rambam, both of them are bad. Both of them are bad. You should never be an extreme person in any of your tendencies. If you find that your personal nature sort of tends towards one of those sides, one of those character traits in the extreme, or it's been prepared, whatever that means, to do one of those things, outside hayoser tov, that could be, Reina. It's possible. Yeah, maybe because it's the choice. Okay, I hear that. Matzativil notel achas mien, omuchan achas mien, oshek far lamed achas mien, or if you became accustomed to one of them, vinagba, and then you're doing those things, you're living on one extreme of a character trait. Yachzer atzma lemutav, v'yelech b'derech hatovim, v'yaderech hayishara. That you should go to the other extreme. You should bring yourself back. This, he says that later. But he says you should bring yourself back to the middle. To the best. And you should go in the good way, which is Haderech HaYishara. The straight path. The middle path. And that's what he's about to say. Haderech HaYishara in the second paragraph in source number 4. Himida Beinonit. It's the middle one. Shebechol Deah V'Deah Mikol Deah Sheyesh L'Adam. Every single tendency you have has extremes. You should go in the middle. V'hi hadeya shehi rechoka mishtei ha'ketzavot. It's a very interesting way to phrase it. He doesn't say that it's the place that's equidistant, but it says it's the furthest from both sides, right? As if to say, get as far away as you can from the extremes. That naturally means you gotta go in the middle, right? So it reminds me of a joke, right? They say, how far can a dog run into the woods? I think I might have said this in the women's class once, in the halacha class on Sefiras HaOmer. How far can a dog run into the woods? And the answer is halfway. The other way, he's running out, right? You can only go to halfway point, then you're running in. From there on, you're running out, right? Once you get to the middle point, you're getting closer to one of the ends, right? So the same thing when it comes to character traits. You have to run as far as you can away from the extreme, but don't keep running once you pass the middle point, because then you're going to get closer to the different extreme. So he says the Rambam in the second paragraph here, Hadeash hi rechok mishtei ketzavot. It's the furthest from both extremes. Rachok shaveh. Richok shaveh. A distance which is equal. Ve'ena krova lo lazov lo lazo. He sounds very calculating in how it should be dafka in the middle. But obviously it's much more nuanced than that. Lefikach tzivu chacham harishon she'adam sham de'osav. Might be calculate his thoughts. Tamid umeshayer osam umechavin osam b'derech hametzayis kadesh yeshalim begufo. To be full, a full person, a healthy person, you have to be in the middle of these character traits. And then he starts to list some of them. He says one of them is v'lo yikpotz yado b'yoser. You shouldn't be super stingy, right? Make sure you spend money on the right things, and don't be super stingy. I personally, struggle with this. You know, when it comes to like buying, there are some svarim that I used to buy used. I still buy used svarim. Some svarim I buy used, and then when I get them, you know, they're not as enjoyable to learn from because the pages are falling off, or you know, the binding is ripped or whatever. And if I would have spent another $5, I would have had a beautiful nice sefer that I could enjoy learning from. And instead, I was too stingy. So this is what the Rambam says: there are times where you should spend more money. V'lo yifazer mamono, or it also means not to give. Not to give out to other people, to give tzedakah. You should be willing to give money to people, not just spend more money on a mitzvah, but also to give out money to other people for tzedakah. However, you shouldn't just throw all your money away. You should give out, also relevant to this week's parsha, as we've mentioned before, you should give out tzedakah to the extent that you're able to. But don't give out too much. It's actually usher to do so. You can't give out too much money where it's going to affect and sacrifice your own livelihood. You should not be frivolous and laughing all the time. What does this mean here? The English, too playful. And you shouldn't be too sad. The same panim yafos. You should be pleasantly happy all of your days with a nice countenance, but not overly excited, not overly joyous. Sometimes you meet people like that just everything is like the most beautiful, wonderful thing in the world. So those people aren't living in reality. Either they're not living in reality or they're pretending to not live in reality. One of the two, but that's not what we should do. We should have a certain, you know, overall countenance, overall attitude of positivity, but that shouldn't be an overwhelming one that doesn't let us realize the realities of the world. I recognize the realities of the world. Kol Adam Shadeosav. Sorry, I skipped a little bit. V'chein Shar Deosav. Similar with all other character traits. V'derech Zuhi Derech HaChachamim. This is the way of the wise people. Kol Adam Shadeos. Shadeosav Deos Beninios. Anyone who is going to take the middle path. Mimutzaos Nikra Chacham. The middle path. This is going to be called wise. So that's the concept of the Rambam. And usually when it comes to a choice, we have to always take the middle path, especially when it comes to character traits. There are two exceptions that should be known. First exception is anger. So a person should never be too angry, although he does talk about anger here. There are kinds of anger which are okay, but it should never be a sincere anger where you're really upset at somebody, really angry at somebody. You can be upset because anger is different than being upset. And then secondly, which is probably connected to that, at least psychologically, to not be haughty, to not have gaiva. You should actually go to the other extreme. You should be completely, completely humble and not haughty at all. How do you square that with some Gemaras? Both of those concepts actually have nuances to them, exceptions to them. Not for now, but the Sfarno now adds another nuance to it. He adds another exception to the rule that you should always follow in the middle path. Although the Rambam is really talking about character traits and not really a way of life, but says the Sfarno, you shouldn't choose the Klala. This is not one of those situations, if you read back in the source number 3, Shelo yiyeh inyanecha al ofen beinoni. It should not be something where you try to find the middle ground, like most people do. Meaning, you should always choose only the bracha. Always the bracha. Don't listen to the Rambam's concept here. However, there's another way to understand this Svarna. And that other way, we're going to look at through another pasuk in the Parsha, which the Sfas Emes discusses. So if you look at the Sfas Emes in source number 5 over the page, the pasuk tells us it's talking about wanting to go to the Beis HaMikdash. I'm not remembering what carbon it's referring to. It might be talking about Bechor. Let me look quickly. Yud Dalid Chav Dalid. Talking about different carbonos. Let's see. It's talking about Bikurim. It's talking about Bikurim and how you can redeem the Bikurim onto coins and then buy other things with it. That's what it's talking about here in source number 5. Kiyirba mimcha hadarach, when the Beis HaMikdash is too far away. Kilos luchal say, so you can't carry all of your fruit. Kiyirchach mimcha hamakum, because it's very far away. Kind of sounds like a little bit of a repetition there. Asher yivchar Hashem lekecha, the place. Kiyirchach mimcha hamakum, asher yivchar Hashem lekecha, asum shemosham, kiyirchach Hashem lekecha. The Beis HaMikdash is too far away. Interesting words that it's using there. We'll see in a second why it might have done that, why Hashem might have done it. V'nasata b'kesef, you should put it onto money. V'tzarta kesef b'yadecha, and wrap up your money in your hand. V'alachta l'makom, asher yivchar Hashem lekecha. So if it's too heavy for you, so then you can go, you know, transfer it onto money. The money, which is a lot smaller, you'll be able to carry to the Beis HaMikdash. And then you can use the money, spend the money on anything you want. Cattle, sheep, wine, right? Bakar, batzon, bayayin, vashichar. And then you can take whatever you transferred, the kedusha of your bikurim, right? The food that you transferred, the kedusha from the food into the money. So now you take that money, you in an easier way, you bring it to your shalayim, and you're able to enjoy whatever comes from that money. You can enjoy it once you get to Yerushalayim, as opposed to schlepping all of your produce from all of your fields, which could obviously be a very onerous task. Just put it in, you know, charge it to your card, and then just bring your card, you know? Back then, if there was such a thing as a credit card back then, or probably not a credit card, but a debit card or ATM card, so then Hashem would have probably just said that. Vinasa ta kesef a la kartis. That's what Oda said. Just put it all on the card and then bring the card to Yerushalayim. Make sure you spend the same money. We talked about this a little bit a couple weeks ago in terms of, I don't remember what it was, in Daf Yomi, I think, that at the times of Mashiach, the world is not going to change. The world is going to be the same world according to the Rambam interpreting the Gemara and Shabbos. The world is going to be the same place. It's the only thing different is going to be the fact that we're not going to be beholden to other people. No one's going to have jurisdiction and sway over what we do and what we can, you know, do for our own country. But everything else is going to be the same. We're going to have our cell phones. We're going to have our email chats. We're going to have, maybe we're going to have television. I don't know if we'll have television. I don't know what kind of broadcasts the rabbis want to put on, what kind of clean shows the rabbis, what kind of drama theater the rabbis will come up with. But either way, we're going to have everything we normally have. So when the Beis HaMikdash comes, this is going to be a lot easier of a mitzvah. We're just going to put it on the card. Maybe we'll just put it on our bank account. I don't know how you can transfer it in a physical way. But either way, it's going to be a lot easier to bring our Bikurim to Yerushalayim once we have our digital, now that we have our digital means of monies. So that's going to be easier. We're going to have, you know, I love thinking about the types of things we can do in the Beis HaMikdash when there's technology. You know, like how did people ever know that the carbon tamid was being brought? Like people knew it happened in the morning, the sun came up. Okay, the Kohanim probably just brought the carbon tamid. But like, you know how we have the Kotel cam? So we're going to have the carbon tamid cam. We're going to have a website. You can set up the camera and we're going to be able to watch the carbon tamid be brought. You know, the Gemaras and Tanis that talk about how at the time of the Karban Tumen, they would lane. I'm sure they just guessed. They estimated when they brought the Karban. No, they can mamish lane the partials they're supposed to lane as they watch the Karban Tumen. It's going to be unbelievable. And you can tune in and it'll be great. I'm excited for it. Mirtz Hashem soon. And we'll get our power back in a bigger way than just our wires and electricity. But either way, so when it comes to this pasuk, when it comes to this concept of being too far away from the Beis HaMikdash and transferring the money, etc., so Sfas Emes tells us that's all good and well on a literal form. In a literal way, that's what it means. But in a figurative way, in a drasha way, in the Misora of Chassidus, says the Sfas Emes, it means a lot more than that. In source number 6, whatever you want, haklal. What does this all mean? Ki al yedei haratzon v'hacheshek lidvok v'Hashem echad. From the fact that you desire, that you have this will to be close to Hashem, yuchal hitdabek b'chol makom shehu. You can be able to connect to him wherever you are. Ki malchuso b'kol mashallah. Because the kingship, the kingdom of Hashem is everywhere. He controls everything in the world. Ach, however, sheyesh richuk v'hester al yedei achitzonios. We live in a world which unfortunately shows us, expresses to us, presents us with what seems like distance. We live here in America. We're not close to Yerushalayim, unfortunately. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. In the outside physical world, it looks like Kiyir Be'amimcha HaDerech. That Kiyir Chach Mimcha HaMakom. It looks like the place is far away. What does that mean? Kiyir Chach Mimcha HaMakom. As we say in the Haggadah, Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. Blessed is the place. What does it mean, the place? That's Hashem. Hashem is a reference by the word HaMakom also. So says the Sfas Emes, when it seems like Hashem is far away from you, that you should know that's only in terms of chitzonius. That's only in terms of the outward, external presentation of the world. But really, Hashem is close to you. And the guidance, the advice that I give you, or that Hashem gives us, is to be close to Hashem, to want to be close to Hashem. Haratzon v'hateshuka l'karev el Hashem. To want to be close to Hashem. V'akasav maticho ki yavo. And the pasuk guarantees us that we will be close. In what way? V'kesef lasak nechsof nechsafti. The word kesef could be translated as, number one, silver or money, but also there are times nechsof nechsafti means that I want a desire, right? I have a desire to do something, right? So when it says in the pasuk v'nasa teba kesef, and it will be given to you in the form of a desire, v'tzarta perish lihios nechkach umetzuyar heitev belev, and it will be, you know, embedded into your heart, nechkach. We've talked about that before. Nechkak balev, it's going to be entrenched into your heart. Sheyiya ikar hachios bepnimius levavo rak laHashem yisparach. Hashem is going to place in your heart this great desire to want to be close to Him. Uviyadcha hu akoach, and it's in your hands to do. Viikar hachios v'chulei. V'nasa ata kesef, again it says in pasuk chavav, it says it twice. And Hashem is also going to give you the kesef, the desire perish. Shelo lishkoach avas Hashem utshuka hanal. That it's not just going to be a fleeting desire, but once you desire Hashem, He's going to make it so that you always remember that desire. Af b'cho ma'asav, in all of your activities, veganke pshuto b'chol asher taveh, whatever you want to do, right? That's the next part of the pasuk. B'chol asher taveh nafshecha. Literally, what it means is whatever you want to buy with your money. But says the Sfas Emes, whatever you want to do afterwards, that's going to have the desire with Hashem. Bakar tzon yain shechar yeh niskar ava kamanda avid. It's going to be as if you already did it. I'm not exactly sure how he sees that. Oh, sorry, did I see it mixed up? Yeah, yeh niskar ava. No, I did. You're going to have whatever it is, whatever you want to use. You want to use your cattle, you want to use your sheep, you want to use your wine, you want to use your beer, whatever it is, it's always going to be in line or in perspective that it's for Hashem, right? Again, anything in the physical world that you want is going to be channeled towards Hashem, even if you feel like you're far away from Him. V'av shelo yuchal lavo befoal, even though you can't physically go to the Beis HaMikdash, mikol makom machshava tova HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzarfa. That when you have a good thought, when you have a good desire, you have a good intention, Hashem is going to make it as if you were doing it. V'ashar onsa, and the rest of it, the fact that you couldn't actually do it, as we say in halachic parlance, onas rachmana patre, Hashem is going to forgive you for those things you can't do. But for the things you wanted to do, Hashem is going to reward you. Kemanda avid, it's as if you've done it. V'yuchol laham in kinidbach b'shoras nafsho af she'enu b'foal, and you should know, and you're able to believe that within your soul you have connected to that mitzvah. You've actually gone to the Beis HaMikdash and you've experienced that intimacy with Hashem, even if physically you weren't able to do that. And then he quotes the Svarno. What does he say from the Svarno? And hold on to your seats for those of you who might have who might be a little sensitive to how to darshan things, because now he's about to darshan the words of the Svarno. We explain the Svarno one way, he's going to say it in a different way. Perish Pashut. Okay, what does that mean? I don't know. Beparshas Re'eh, Bepasig Re'eh, Ki Ein L'ish Yisrael Derech Memutzeh. There's not a middle ground for the Jewish person to choose. Now this is not exactly how we explain the Svarna, but he's going to say, Rak Leida, you should know, Im Yikabal O Malchus Shemayim B'chol Ma'asav Limtzor Nafshol Hashem Echad HaBracha. If you're willing to accept upon yourself the yoke of heaven in everything you do, to give your soul over to Hashem, the one God, so that's the bracha. V'im lo kein. And if you don't do that, so then that's the klala. What does that mean? An unbelievable way that he's understanding the Sfarno, and therefore the pasuk of Re'eh Anochi Nosim Levdecha Hayom, bracha klala. We said that the Sfarno meant to say that we have a choice. That is between bracha and klala. And if we're smart, we'll choose the bracha, says the Sfarno. And this is not one of those decisions where you go in the middle path. This is one of those decisions you go to the other extreme, says the Sfas Emes. That's not only what the Sfarno means. What the Sfarno means is that there's no middle ground because there are no two choices. Ein derech mumutzeh. There's no possibility of going in the middle. Rak leida im yikabel umachus shemayim b'chom ma'asav lim shonash l'shem echad, habracha. If you're willing to go in the path of Hashem, so then you're going to get bracha. And if you're not, so then naturally you're going to get klala. As if to say, it's not like we are neutral beings and we have a choice to choose this or to choose this. There's really only one choice. Are we going to take this choice or not? If we take it, we're going to get bracha. If we don't take it, we're going to get klala. In which case, there's no choice at all. It's not like you're choosing between two things and therefore there's a middle ground. Says the Sfarno, there's no such thing as a middle ground because there's really only one choice. If you make that choice, so you're going to get bracha. And if you don't make that choice, you're not going to get anything. You're going to get klala. It's as if, and this is an analogy I've used before, and I've heard other people use it before also, Judaism is like walking upwards on a downward escalator. Right? You got to keep moving, and you got to keep doing mitzvos, and you got to keep learning. And if you just stop, so then you're going to go backwards. It's not like you're on flat ground, and you can sort of stay where you are. No, life is a downward escalator where we have to continue growing. There's only one choice. It's not like I'm standing at the bottom of the escalators and deciding, am I going to go up or am I going to go down? No, you're on the escalator. The choice is whether or not you're going to start moving upwards. Says the Sfas Emes, understanding the Sfarno, probably not in the way that I would understand the Sfarno, as we understood it before, but rather to say you're on the escalator already. There's one choice, and that one choice is going to lead you to bracha. And if you don't take that opportunity, you don't win the lottery that you can see in front of you. So then you're going to naturally going to get klala. You're going to move backwards. This concept of the Sfas Emes reminded me of a time that we're about to go into. Reminding me of a time this Shabbos, as you might know, is Shabbos Mevarchim Elul. Yes, it's that time of year. Elul is here. We have to figure out what we're doing, not only in the physical world, but in the spiritual world too. What does Elul mean? What does Elul mean? And as we know, one of the major differences of our liturgy, that at least for Ashkenazim, The only difference in liturgy when it comes to the beginning of Elul is the beginning of saying LeDavid Hashem Ori V'Yishi, Psalm number 27, Tehillim Chav Zayin, in the morning and the evening. And in perhaps the pinnacle of that parak, we have the pasuk in source number 7, that David says, Achas sha'alti me'es Hashem, osa avakesh. Hashem, there's only one thing that I want. And that is shifti me'es Hashem ko yimechai. I just want to be close to you, Hashem. Lachzos b'noam Hashem levaker v'yecholo. To visit and to acquaint myself with the beauty of the Lord. Whatever that means, interesting drashas, chasam. So far, an interesting idea, not for now. But either way, says David HaMelech, the choice of life, the choice of Elul, is only one thing. You have to answer one question. And this is something that I think some people sometimes get a little overwhelmed with in the tshuva season. We oftentimes think of Elul and we start, you know, getting all tzefloigen, for those who know that word. Miriam probably appreciates that word, tzefloigen. Right? We get all tzefloigen, right? We get all mixed up. Oh, I've got to do this, I got to do that, I got to do the apples, I got to do the honey, I got to do the shofar, I got to do in my tshuva, I got to work on this part of myself, I got to work on that part of myself, says David HaMelech, no. Achas sha'alti. You have to answer one question. Achas sha'alti, I have one question, right? Sha'alti, a she'ela. What's the one question? Do you want to be shifty b'beis Hashem? Do you want to have a relationship with Hashem? When you've established for yourself that you want to have a relationship with Hashem, everything else falls into place. But the question of Elul is, Ani lado divido dili, am I for my beloved or not? Am I willing to have a relationship with Hashem? That's the achas sha'alti of life. It's true, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Re'ei anochi nosim lifneichem ayim, bracha uklala, but says it's fasem, it's only one question. Do you want bracha? If you want bracha, so then you'll choose Hashem. If you don't want bracha, so then the klala is going to happen naturally. It's not two choices. There's only one choice. And the question is whether you're going to take it or not. You're going up a downward escalator, and you have to decide, achas sha'alti, there's one question, are you going to start moving, or are you just going to fall back? That's the concept of Elul, that's the concept of Re'ei Anochi Nosim Lefneichem Hayom Bracha, and then the klala will follow if you don't take it. And this is something also which I think connects to what the Sfasema said earlier, that we have also thoughts of, which is difficult, especially in the aftermath of a Tisha B'Av. The aftermath of a Tisha B'Av, where we sometimes think, how could we ever bounce back from that, right? We spend the 9 days, we spend the 3 weeks thinking how terrible the Jewish people were. And we talk about, as we talked about ourselves a couple weeks ago, how difficult it must be that we're another generation that didn't build the Beis HaMikdash. And we get all down on ourselves. And we think to ourselves, oh, we can't build the Beis HaMikdash. We're not living up to par. We're not doing what we can. We're so far away from Hashem. Ki yirchak mimcha amakom. Says the Sfas Emes, you have to know that the yirchak, the richuk makom, that physical distance is only that. It's only presenting itself in the physical world. But in truth, it really is that Hashem is b'kol mashallah. Hashem is everywhere for us. And this reminds me of a drasha I heard once from Rav Moshe Weinberger. He talked about a pasuk that we say. He actually talks about a minhag that we do. And people will appreciate, I think people will appreciate this. I don't know. I hope people appreciate this. I'm just thinking of the crowd I'm talking to. In the beginning of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur davening, if anyone's there at the beginning of Shacharis, meaning at the towards the end of Pesukei DeZimra, so as opposed to Shabbos or other days where the Chazan walks up to the Bima, so the Chazan oftentimes, the minhag is, the Chazan will begin to sort of call out the word HaMelech, right? He'll call out HaMelech and he'll do a sort of a tune. Many times he'll do a tune. The Chazan does that from his seat. So Rav Moshe Weinberg said, why do we do that? Where does that minhag come from? Why are we singing? Why are we starting Shacharis from our seat as opposed to the Bima like we always do? So he says, you have to look at a pasuk that we say all the time. We say it twice a day, or three times a day. And that is, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Kvod Hashem Mimkomo. Blessed is the glory of Hashem from his place. If one were to look at the Art Scroll Siddur, or probably most Siddurim that translate, you'll look at that phrase, you know, blessed is the glory of Hashem from his place. The word his will be capitalized. It'll be H, with a capital H, I-S. That Hashem is going to be blessed from his place. Wherever Hashem is, he's blessed. But if you look at the Radak, we won't say it inside. And Moshe Meyer Weinberger explains, Baruch Kavod Hashem Mimkomo means that Yechezkel, who heard these words, was hearing from Hashem, Baruch Kvod Hashem Mimkomo. Yechezkel, who had just gone through Golus, he was just sent out of the of Yerushalayim. He has the Beis Hamikdash destroyed, and he's sent away. And the and he's describing the psukim. Vatisa'enu ruach v'ashma acharai kol ra'ash gadol. I hear this noise, this voice coming from behind me as I'm leaving Yerushalayim. The voice is saying, Baruch Kvod Hashem Mimkomo, that the glory of Hashem can be blessed even in Yechezkel's place. Even in the place where he's going. You don't have to be in the Beis HaMikdash to bring glory to Hashem. You don't have to be in the most ideal place of the Beis HaMikdash to bring blessing to the glory of Hashem. And that's why, says Rav Moshe Weinberger, we start Shacharis even from our places in the pews, not from the Bima. To know that it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what stage in life you are, and it doesn't matter what you did yesterday. Re anochi nosim lefnechem hayom. Today is a new day. You have one choice. You have one opportunity, one thing to choose from. Are you going to choose the achas sha'alti? Are you going to choose shifti b'beis Hashem kol yimei chayei? Are you going to choose the bracha? And hopefully when you choose that bracha, you won't have the klala to follow. And that's really the choice. And I think that's important to realize because oftentimes, as I said before, we get all mixed up and sefloigan about all the things we have to do for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. I've got to work on myself in this way, in that way. I'm doing all these terrible things. What am I going to do? I got to take care of all these things. Slow down for a second. Slow down and realize that Rosh Hashanah is about HaMelech. Rosh Hashanah is about Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li. It's a time where we ask, Achas Sha'alti. Are we doing that one thing? It's all about that one thing. Do we want to have a relationship with Hashem? And as the Sforno says, Ha'etza, the advice is, Haratzon v'hatshuka l'karev l'Hashem. You don't even have to have that relationship with Hashem. You have to want that relationship with Hashem. And that's itself what we're all striving for during Elul and during Yom Kippur, Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li. A lot to digest, but in many ways, very little to digest. Because we only have one question. There's a single simple question we're all trying to answer as we go into Elul next week. Do we want Shifti Beis Hashem Kol Yimei Chayei? If Yirtzeh Hashem, we'll be able to have Rosh Hashanah in one capacity or another, in our Beis Hashem, in our Mikdash Ma'at. But the greater question spiritually is, do we want to have the ultimate relationship with Hashem, the bracha, as opposed to the klal? So Yirtzeh Hashem, as we go into Elul, as we bench Elul this Shabbos, we'll think about what it means for us, you know, specifically, but also keeping the math simple, keeping the calculus very simple. To think to ourselves, there's only really one question. When it gets to Yom Kippur, we can go through every al-chait in the book. We can go through all the specifics. Rosh Hashanah, we don't have any al-chaits. We're not going through the specifics. There's only one question. And hopefully we'll be able to answer that question before we say HaMelech on Rosh Hashanah morning. Okay, hopefully we're all getting in gear. I don't want to scare anyone. You don't have to buy your apples and honey just yet, but something to start thinking about.